Welcome back. We are back with another edition of the Fantasy 40 Podcast with myself, John Abari, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, and as always, brought to you by our friends at Expand the Box Score. So, we are in week two of free agency. We covered this a bit last week with all the breaking news. A lot of the big moves were the first ones, and it took a lot of the attention, and all the excitement was already done and behind us. But there were a few moves since we last recorded, so we're going to talk about those bigger name moves, and then we're going to kind of run through again and do a brief kind of lightning round. Just is the player up or down? Who's a big winner, loser out of the move? Current team, previous team, whatever. Just kind of give a quick fantasy perspective on all these. Then, like I said, lightning round style, so you can kind of burn through it quick. So that's all I got for that today. So, Walk, how are you? And where do you want to get started with things that happened this week?
I'm doing awesome. Great intro. I love how you tried to drop that 5-second nugget right before. Imagine if I said something, we would have just screwed up the start. That sounded perfectly like us. But yeah, there was some definitely moves that had transpired thereafter that I think have some interesting ramifications on teams and dynasty football. But what I wanted to start on is not a free agency move. Actually, kind of curious as you think. Aaron Donald retires.
Oh, yeah.
10 seasons. He's only 30. He's about to turn 33. Looks like about in the next 2 months. I'm on SpoTrack. And, you know, so he's 32 years, 308 days old. He's made $157 million.
Crazy.
During that time with a large chunk of it. It looks like roughly 60 mil, I think exactly 60 mil, coming in the last 2 years. So he has really pushed the envelope the last 2 years. He left another 13, roughly 14 mil on the table this year in his retirement. It looks like it was part of, actually listed as part of a restructure bonus. So wonder if he still gets that at the end. But what are your thoughts on Aaron Donald calling it a quit? Still at the peak of his game, one of the best D tackles currently and probably all time.
Two things. Number one, I mean, you knew it was coming soon because they were talking about it a year ago after they won the Super Bowl. You know, they said, oh, is this where he's finally going to bow out? So kind of weird that he didn't do it. I always
thought they were threats for him to get more money. That's how I always
thought. Sure.
And it worked.
Yeah, for him to wait till now and do it. And same thing, like not after the season. So probably took some time to think about it. Was like, but yeah, you'd think now, at least from our perspective, this is one of the more exciting football times of the year. You'd think you'd be, if he was leaning one way or the other, now's the time to be like, all right, let's might as well come back for one more, especially as he's under contract. But not a shocker, like I said, just knowing what was said a year ago, but a little surprising just on the timing. And then my second thought was kind of what would probably be in the outtakes we were talking to before we started recording. You're listening to all those numbers. I'm thinking of him living in California. Wonder what the fuck his actual take home was. You said, you put out that big number, you go, woo, he's living. And then you go, half of that's taxes. Another probably 5 to 10 goes to his agent. Who knows what he pays for, you know, probably got a chef and a masseuse and an assistant. And, you know, fuck that $100 million. And he ain't doing bad, but that $100 million probably turns into 30 or 40 million take home real quick.
Just got to get out. Yeah, you're right. Just got to get out of there. Right? Because, like, I literally can't afford to play professional football anymore because of the team I play for. Cannot afford to be an all pro defensive tackle. Yeah, and you're right. It is a curious time in the midst of free agency. Like, Travis Kelce and Fletcher Cox both called it before free agency hit, right? And just kind of doing right by the team. Not saying that, you know, Aaron Donald didn't tell the Rams, hey, I'm going to retire, you know, and they're like, all right, well, we'll let you announce it, type thing. So maybe they were a little more aggressive in free agency than we have thought. And I'm looking, they did not sign a defensive line player in free agency. So I'd be curious as to what their knowledge of the situation was, but nonetheless, it was just an interesting name that also has came up during this past, you know, week of chaos that is walking away a la Barry Sanders, what it seems like, still at the peak of his powers. So
I think that one hurts me the most out of all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, he would have set records with just his trajectory. Yeah, because he was not slowing down at all.
No. All right.
Well, but also, he was played in Detroit for a decade, so it must probably feels like a fucking lifetime for most people. So can't really blame old Barry for wanting to call it a career, playing for an organization that was down bad. Yeah. So 153 games played for Barry Sanders, 15,269 yards. That literally is almost on the dot, 100 yards per game average. Scored 99 touchdowns during his time there. Would have nice to see him get another, get to 100, but also another 2,900 receiving yards and 10 receiving touchdowns. The guy was unbelievable. So he had 18,190 yards and 109 touchdowns across his 10 seasons in Detroit, spanning from 89 to 98. It was an
absolute. Yeah, I have a hard time convincing me anyone has a better highlight reel. I mean, you know, I bring up Earl Campbell all the time. There's lots of plays, specific plays I like watching, but like collectively, man, it's you have a hard time telling me anybody's.
Yeah, Barry was literally a guy where you know it's going to happen in a game. Like, it's going to happen. Like, if you watch, you're going to see something special, right? It's not like a highlight. It's like assumed that he's going to just come out of a pile unscathed or leave someone grasping at air or hit him with a spin move that looks like it's,
yeah, you know,
stopping time. Like, yeah, he was special.
His MVP season, he averaged 128 a game.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's insane.
And he averaged 100 rushing yards a game for his career.
Well, I get it. Career. 128 is fucking nuts. All right, so enough reminiscing. So who do you want to talk about the bigger names that got moved this week? I mean, I'll just kind of go down in the order I jotted their names, which is unimportant for our purposes here. But so Kenny Pickett, they brought in Russell Wilson. Pickett said, "I want out of here," and they obliged. Didn't seem to be too concerned. Send him to Philly. I don't like the move for Pickett. I mean, Russell Wilson has stunk. He's got 1 year left. It seems like if Pickett toes the line as a good company man, maybe he gets a chance again in another year there in Pittsburgh. However, he chose not to do so, goes to Philly, where he is buried behind Hurts. There's no way he's ever going to get on the field unless Hurts gets injured. I think it is a bad move for him. He should have stayed in Pittsburgh. And it sounds like he was the one who kind of winked and nudged his way out.
Yeah, I mean, From an Eagles fan perspective, I think it was a really good trade because you give up pretty much nothing for like 2 years of a cost control backup, right? And this kid is still, even though he didn't deserve to be, he was a first round pick. You know, I forget how many starts he already has in the NFL, and he's young. And I think for the next 2 years, he doesn't even make $5 million total. So you're looking at somebody's like Drew Lock is getting paid $5 million for this year to be the backup and for the Giants. So great move from a cost control perspective. And no matter how much people want to say, if your backup's starting games, your season's over. Like, there's just not a lot of like the Nick Foles signature season out there. Yeah. I mean, and listen, they got stomped in the first round of the playoffs.
Matt Castle.
Yeah. You got a Super Bowl. Yeah. So exactly right. There's a ceiling for these guys. Right. So what's the value in a backup? And I have to think on the Pickett thing. Listen, Pickett lost his job last year to Mason Rudolph. We have to remember that. Pickett was back and healthy before the playoffs.
Yeah. And
they were like, nah, we're just going to ride this whole Mason Rudolph thing out. See how it goes, right? Where he you know, started a playoff game for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Kenny Pickett was already out of Pittsburgh. You don't come back from that, right? Where if you can't get your starting back job back from Mason Rudolph, he's not beating Russell Wilson this year. He wouldn't have.
No. I don't
believe. So now he's 2 years removed from being a starter, you know, and what, going into the last year of his deal in Pittsburgh when they're not picking up his fifth-year option, right? So now he'd be a lame duck, maybe starting quarterback. I doubt it. If it's not Russell Wilson, they're hitting reset again. So
here, how aggressive do you want to get in leagues where you have Pickett? Would you just cut him? If you needed a roster spot to fit your fucking fourth round rookie pick, and you're trying to decide between Pickett or maybe that rookie at the bottom of your roster, are you dumping Kenny Pickett?
In a super flex, I'm keeping Pickett for two reasons. One, Jalen Hurts got dinged up a little bit last year in the way that he plays. He takes a fair amount of hits. And two, now with Kellen Moore as the OC of this offense, I want exposure to the Eagles offense in the event that, you know, Kenny Pickett logs some starts. So I don't think he's dead. Listen, he didn't do shit in Pittsburgh. With staying in Pittsburgh wasn't going to help his dynasty value. You know, the dude couldn't throw a touchdown to save his life. And now he has an Arthur Smith offense there to further bog them down. So I think his dynasty value is about as same as it was to me 4 months ago when he was watching Mason Rudolph start a playoff game for the Steelers.
Too much Kenny Pickett talk. All right, let's get to the big name of this shit. Really, one of the big names of this offseason, just the mystery surrounding it. We got Josh Fields finally getting out of Chicago after they held on for far too long, and they were able to get a sixth, which I got to assume. I mean, no one was offering more, probably even before all the other pieces fell in place. I mean, they would, if someone offered a two and a three, the Bears would have jumped on it. So I'm thinking they had a horrific market for him, rightfully so from an NFL perspective. Fields goes to Pittsburgh, which, opposite of Pickett here, it's probably a great spot for him. Wilson stunk. If he stinks again and they see enough out of Fields, they do have, what's he on? His year four, so they can pick up his option for year five to really kick the tires on, even if they go double bridge from Wilson to Fields to whatever in 2 years from now. I think it's of the spots that, especially what was left, where he was clearly going to be a backup, I think this is the ideal one. And then a friend of mine who's not even just a buddy of mine who watches a little football from time to time, he had a great idea that I haven't heard anybody throw out there. He said they should just make him Pittsburgh's Taysom Hill. And I laughed at first, and I go, fuck, I think he's on to something here. Put a couple packages in where sometimes he throws, sometimes he runs, get him out there as a receiver. He could actually have a little value now doing the things he's good at.
Listen, I already believe that Arthur Smith is in the lab grinding, ways to, not use, George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth, so that he can maximize like a Justin Fields package. But interesting thing with Fields, they would have to pick his fifth year option up, I think, like in May, before the season even starts, which is part of the value of those options for these rookies. Is you can't wait like through camp and all that. They should say, okay, yeah, we're finally committed. It's also why Daniel Jones didn't have his picked up a few years ago, which is also why the Giants ended up overpaying him. When if they would have just picked up his fifth year option and saw one more year of Daniel Jones, they'd probably be out of it at this point in time. But so I don't think they pick it up. If I'm asked today, although I think they deal with, if he leaves in free agency and they get a comp pick, good. If he's good enough and they want to re-sign him, they try, good. I don't think they're going to commit $25 million to him for next year, assuming that, he's good enough. So it's going to be interesting to see what Russ and him, how that shakes out, because I wouldn't think it's good to have both of them on the team, because if Russ makes team, he's a starter. I don't think Russ is going to be like, yeah, I'm cool being the backup here. If Justin Fields takes his job. So then you got acrimony there. And
breaking news about Justin Fields as we're talking.
Did he get his fifth year option picked up?
Justin Fields blocked trades with four teams before landing to the Steelers.
He wanted to go somewhere he could probably start. Thinks he has a good chance of, because I know for a fact the Eagles were interested, which would only have been a one-year rental, right? They're not picking up that fifth-year option. So they just saw a potential cheap, backup for a year that, has some similar attributes to a Jalen Hurts as a mobile quarterback. So I got that. But to your point, he would have just sat on the bench for the entire year. So if that's the case, then, Philly's definitely one of them. I forgot the other teams that were mentioned around the time, but I have to believe they were all places he was going to be the clear backup.
You think Russell Wilson takes that like a personal shot a little bit? Like,
he should.
He's like, this motherfucker came he here. He thinks
I'm not, I'm not a threat. I'm not a threat. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, I didn't know he could block trades. I mean, that's
I think, I mean, everything the Bears had said this whole time. Yeah, it sounded like he, even knowing he was probably on the way out, sounds like he did, you know, all the right things, did exactly what the team wanted, didn't, you know, wasn't a piece of garbage like Kenny Pickett, I guess, behind the scenes, right? So he played along, did what they wanted. So assuming that's all right, correct, rather, I get it. I mean, you know, what's the difference between a fifth and a sixth, really? If you get the kid where he wants to go, if he did everything that the GM and coaching staff and ownership asked him to do and didn't bitch and just was a company man, you know, let him go where he wants to go. All right, sticking with the Bears. Keenan Allen traded to the Chicago Bears. That broke after he recorded. We'll probably get into this a little more when we do the speed round, but any quick thoughts on that?
I was actually surprised, but it comes out that pretty much the Chargers came out to all those big name cap guys and asked them all to take cuts. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Bosa, and Khalil Mack. Or no, sorry, not the Mike Williams. I think Mike Williams just cupped those other three. Keenan Allen said no. So they traded him. The other two took pay cuts or restructures, whatever it's called to get cap compliance. So made sense to move on from I think he's already a 31-year-old, soon to be 32-year-old receiver in the last year of his deal. Big cap number. I think it's like $23 million. So I get why the Chargers had to move off of him. I also get why the Bears signed him, because the Bears had a ton of money, and it's making its way around Twitter right now that, you know, Caleb Williams is going to walk into the best environment I can remember for a rookie quarterback, you know, especially like the 101. 101s are usually dog shit. Like, this is supposed to be the Carolina Panthers pick, not even the Bears. The Bears are already ninth, not supposed to be one. And now, you know, he's got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet thrown to. He's got a nice backfield with three guys, you know, that are all reasonable, you know, and good pass catchers. He's got an okay offensive line. The defense is actually probably the better half of the team at present. Like, this is it's a weird scenario for a rookie quarterback. And look at just the veterans, like with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, they're going to make Caleb Williams' life easy. Now, my concern is Keenan Allen is old and he's going to Chicago to play football outdoors. You know, he has played in Los Angeles his entire career. Not saying he hasn't gone to cold weather cities before, but now it's going to be the home field for him, you know, and then he has to go to Lambeau outside. Luckily, Detroit, Minnesota are indoors, but I don't know. I'm a little concerned about the, you know, the likelihood of Keenan Allen playing an entire season here, just given the environment.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, another wide receiver went to the dream spot, but Hollywood Brown to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think people are talking about it enough. I mean, I know he's been a little banged up and everything, and he's a guy who I did not like coming in. During his time in Baltimore, he actually convinced me otherwise, and I think he is a good receiver on a team that literally has nothing besides Rashee Rice at wide receiver. I think it's a great signing. I don't think Kansas City is as pressured to really pound wide receiver in this draft as I thought they were a week ago. I love it. If he stays healthy, I think he could be a wide receiver one. I actually really love it.
Yeah, I don't see a world where he can be a wide receiver one personally. But I like the move too. I mean, think of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who in his first year with Kansas City saw 81 targets, had 687 receiving yards and two receiving touchdowns, averaged 16.4 yards per reception. I mean, you tell me I can get, and I think that on the low end, 81, like 100 target, Hollywood Brown, assuming health. He had some foot troubles end of last year and in the offseason, which is why I think his market was a little depressed. But to get $7 million to go rehab your value as a soon-to-be 27-year-old receiver in Kansas City who knows how to use the vertical threat know, it was Valdez-Scantling's lack of ability to catch footballs. I mean, he honestly has just over a 50% catch rate for his first Kansas City career over 2 years. Yes. Looks like he's two catches over 50% catch rate. Now, I know that all catches aren't created equal, but you remember vividly what they did with Tyreek Hill, you know, in a similar fashion in years past. Now, defenses have changed, you know, with the kind of too high shell and stuff like that, but there's still opportunity. And Hollywood Brown is light years better than Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So I could see, you know, like a 1,000-yard, 6-touchdown season type, you know, off of like 70 catches, 65 catches, something like that from Hollywood Brown. I can't see a world where he gets to wide receiver one because there's still Kelce, who's clearly not retiring. I thought for sure he was. The guy's just having far too much fun, I guess, to retire. And then Rashee Rice is still going to see the scheme touches, and hopefully his route tree is going to expand. So I just don't think Hollywood Brown could see the volume necessary to even threaten wide receiver one. I do think he can be a top 30 wide receiver, and that's extremely valuable.
Yeah, and he I heard somebody, I think it was on NFL radio, I was listening, and they were talking about an X is an O guy, so way ahead of me on the curve of those types of things. But they said they were watching, as the year went on, they were watching a lot of film on Kansas City, and they said with his drops and Mahomes' lack of trust him, they said there were plays where he was just completely and totally wide open on the field, and Mahomes looked at him and then just looked somewhere else.
I totally believe it. Listen, he botched a ball against the Eagles last year in the regular season that would have won them the game. Mahomes threw it perfect. You know, he was a decoy if ever there was a decoy by the end of the season. And you know what's interesting? I just looked at Hollywood Brown's stats real quick, and he's had a 1,000-yard, 6-touchdown season in his career. It was actually the most yards he had. He had it on 91 receptions. It was that, you know, he's 11.1 yards per reception, which is strange. The second lowest of his career. He has had 7 and 8 touchdown seasons, but he's never been a huge yardage guy. I mean, for as big and fast, and I know a lot of that was like gadgety stuff in Baltimore, but I'm actually surprised his highest yards per reception of his career in a season was 13.3, his second year in Baltimore. And he's become like this, like underneath guy, I guess. He has had 100 or more targets in all but one season of his career.
You're letting a lot of air out of my sail here, by the way.
Listen, I'm getting more impressed by the minute, to be honest with you. I mean, he just doesn't seem like either it's scheme because he has the speed. We know that. But, you know, and he's 5'9", 180. That's not necessarily small anymore for a wide receiver.
How crazy is that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally fine. So I'm interested. He's good for their offense. I don't see a world where he could be a wide receiver one unless literally Rashee Rice goes down week one with a season.
All right, he's on the trade block in your league. What are you willing to pay?
I'd give a late second.
I'd have to look at mocks, but that sounds right to me.
Yeah. I mean, all right. In a three wide receiver type league. Yeah, I mean, there's value in Marquise Brown, and this isn't the end of his career after the season. He'll only be 28 years old next year. He's still got probably 3 to 4 good years left in him. Foot is right. So we all want the Kansas City receiver. So shit, let's get the guy that has been productive for a number of seasons, right? Thus far, just really hasn't ever broken out.
And with the foot thing, to me, it's less of an issue because he is smaller. I mean, those things usually linger on these giant men that are stomping around carrying 230 pounds on their 6'4 frame. So I'm less concerned as I would be if it was, you know, Keenan Allen or, I mean, shit, look at Julio Jones. All right, another receiver. And then I got one more after this just to get your reaction on not a big name, but I'm intrigued. This one is Curtis Samuel going to the Bills. Curtis Samuel's made some good plays. Bills are in need of another receiver in there. I like it. Curious to see how they use him, but I think there's some upside potential. We'll see, especially with, you know, I didn't see his contract. I'm not quite sure what is off the top of my head, but, you know, Diggs is on the way out eventually. He's getting a little older and hasn't been super productive. So I am curious.
Listen, if you want to get the, Curtis Samuel, 3 years, $24 million with $15 million guaranteed. So
$8 million. Should be there 3 years. I like it.
yeah, at least two. Not a big deal, you know. I mean, that's the DeAndre Swift deal right there. 3 and 24. I don't think DeAndre got that much guaranteed, but that's kind of cheap for a wide receiver. If you want to get depressed, look at Stephon Diggs' splits, like front and back half, like pre and post bye week the last 2 years. They're abysmal. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him, because I kind of think him and Khalil Shakir are similar. I don't know that they're either of them are really outside. I think they're both slot type receivers that can handle carries and stuff like that. Like, that's really an interesting area of Curtis Samuel's game. Hopefully they incorporate that a little bit, because their backfield, as far as I know, it's James Cook and who else? Like, they've been piecing it together with veterans the last 7 years, several years. You know, they had Latavius Murray forever. They signed Leonard Fournette and never played him. Then they signed some other veteran. I can't recall who the heck it was. They had Todd Johnson there. They
can get out from under Diggs after this year, and I bet you they do. He's 31. After this year, next year, he's got an $18 million salary, dead cap at 22. So they'd have to eat, what is that, $4 million bucks, which is very doable in today's NFL. And if he has a good year, they could wait till the next year and cut him, or just do 19 mil. Dead cap's 13.
If he's due 19 and dead cap's 13, that only saves him 6 mil at that point. You're doing the math wrong.
Either way, he's there for one more year.
Yeah, they said the out actually is in 25. Yeah, next year, where it finally saves them money. That's the thing. It's not good. Yeah, they're only saving 5 mil to cut him next year. And then they start getting into save them 15 mil in 26, and then 100%. He's never seen it at age 34 season in 2027, where they would save, looks like, $18 million. So he's there. I can't see him being cut in 25, because the savings just aren't there. What traded. So I don't know what he's bitching and moaning about. He ain't getting a new deal. I mean, you're signed through your age 34 season, like, which ain't happening. It's because his yearly cash is under 20 million, and he's seen someone like Mike Evans, who's older than him, getting paid 20 some mil a year on this new deal. 2 and 41, he had 20 and a half mil, so now he feels like he's underpaid. So
hold on now. What did you say Aaron Donald had made in his career?
157 million.
Through his 9-year career, somehow Stephon Diggs has 107.
Correct.
That's fucking criminal.
Well, you look at the first, look at his Minnesota days. He got paid like a fucking punt gunner for the first 3 years of his career.
That's crazy.
You know, and then he's only really hit cash the last 2 years. I mean, you know, I'm not going to listen, 17 mil, 15 mil, 15 mil, 9.5 mil, like, yeah, life-changing money for everyone. But he's made almost 50 mil the last 2 years alone. So you start looking at all this new money. It was the same thing. Was it 60 mil the last 2 years for Aaron Donald? That's when all the money's been hitting people.
That's nuts.
For these last 2 years, it's post-COVID, you know, when the cap is now jumping, that these guys are getting paid. But yeah, that's a little surprising with him through that time.
All right. And the last one I wanted to get your opinion on, and I don't think a lot of people care, but I actually think it's pretty sneaky and for fantasy purposes. Sam Howell goes to the Seattle Seahawks.
What?
And I don't think that's bad at all. I don't think Geno's very good. I actually thought Howell was a lot better than other people did. He led the league in interceptions, which you'd like to see that number come down, but he had led the NFL in attempts. I think he looked okay given, what do you want to call it, his surroundings in Washington there. I would like to see him get some playing time. Even, you know, how you, some of these teams will bring their rookies on slow, give them a series here and there. I would like to see him in the Seattle offense actually on the field. I mean, it's going to look a little different, I know, with the coaching change and stuff, but I don't hate it at all. And I think that's a pretty sneaky stash in Superflex. I wish I had any foresight of this happening, because he was probably way cheap. Not that he's going to be expensive now, but I would have liked to acquired him 2 weeks ago for nothing instead of now for probably, what, I think Superflex, someone won a third?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable because Gino, I think, is only assured like this year financially. And I don't know that that means he's assured to be the starter this year. I think his money is only through this year. There's new leadership there. Yeah, Sam Howell's interesting. It's funny you said he led the league in interceptions. He also led the league in sacks. He took 65 sacks last year, which is like Justin Fields-esque. And yeah, the Washingtons sucked. The offensive line sucked. They did have good pass catchers, but everything sucked. Ron Rivera was literally trying to shackle that entire offense, you know, to the best of his, you know, archaic ability. But he really got exposed last year as well. Only because of fantasy do we still see an upside from Sam Howell. I don't know that there's a world where he is a multi-year starter in the NFL. He might get some opportunity this year, but I was trying to sell him before the trade. No one bit, and now I will hold for those obvious reasons, hoping that he gets a couple starts and something good happens, but then I'd be trading him again. I saw enough of Sam Howell last year to know that. Would you say the environment definitely was a contributing factor, which is unfortunate because that's like the bulk of, and I'll jump back forth, the bulk of Justin Fields' career has been, you know, him plus environment, but you have to own a portion of that as the player. And it takes 65 sacks is an insane amount of sacks. It just shows your lack of awareness. And then he's thrown another 21 interceptions on the times he doesn't take sacks. I mean, that's an
epic. Ooh, when you combine that number, it's 80.
An epically high number of
86,
you know, negative
play killers
that he's directly, and that's not even taking fumbles. I'm sure there's some fumbles somewhere around here as well. They don't show it as much on Pro Football Reference, but yeah, he's a. Fumbles, four more fumbles. So there you go. Let's just add to the pot. You know, we're talking 90 now, right? And yep, 90 turnover or negative impact plays on your offense. You just that doesn't get on the field.
So Jesus, I think roughly 10% of the time he dropped back, he got sacked.
It's crazy.
Wow. All right. So,
John, it's actually more than. I mean, you're right. Dropbacks, because out of attempts, he had 612 attempts, took 65 sacks. So out of his pass attempts, he had more than 10% of his pass attempts.
Well, it'd be higher because technically,
of total pass attempts, of balls he's thrown. yeah, it doesn't factor in. Yeah, obviously, dropbacks are pass attempts plus sacks, but yeah. Your math is better than mine, but it's just a staggering number nonetheless.
First time you got to say that line.
Which is common occurrence here on the 40. But interesting short term because of where he landed. I agree. But I'm kind of out on Howell.
All right. So into the lightning round here. So like I said, we're just gonna bring up a name. Going to kind of go alphabetical order here. For the player, for fantasy purposes, we're just going to say up or down. And if there is a big winner or big loser, either current team, previous team, however you want to see a winner or loser. Sometimes there aren't any. So just going to go alphabetical order here, starting with the.
Well, hold on. Before you go into this, and I didn't want to steal your thunder, but when I get these nuggets, I have to get them out or they're going to consume me. So for some reason, I looked up Mason Rudolph on Pro Football Reference because I was talking about him losing, you know, taking the starting job from Kenny Pickett. Do you know what Mason Rudolph's real first name is?
Oh, we love doing this. Oh,
yes, I agree. It's not. We got this. It's not Mason.
What?
Brett.
Is it just Brett
Rudolph the third?
Is Mason his middle name?
It is. Now he's the third. So dad's
there, probably. Brett. I know why. Yes.
He probably because. But if he was Brett Rudolph, would his career have been different? I mean, I don't know. There's some moxie behind Brett Rudolph.
I think I like Mason better.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So sorry to.
No, I love it. We are a wacky name podcast. All right. So we're just going to go alphabetical here, going with Arizona Cardinals. Some of these names, obviously, I'm trying to skip some real garbage, but because we have been DJ Dallas, truth is for years, I can't pass this up. DJ Dallas to the Arizona Cardinals. Good for him, bad for him. Any winners or losers?
I mean, listen, he got a multi-year deal, so it's definitely good for him. He's a special teamer only, so, I mean, it's not winning or losing anyone. But, yeah, the dude got 3 years, 8.25 with 2.4 guaranteed. Good for him. Like, he's probably only going to be there for a year when it's all said and done, and he's at best third on the depth chart. So, it's good for him financially, and it does nothing for him or anyone else fantasy-wise.
All right, traded to Arizona Cardinals, Desmond Ridder. Now the backup to Kyler Murray. Good, bad, any winners or losers?
He's a loser. That's about the gist. He's terrible. I mean, literally, like he's cringeworthy as far as the starting quarterback is concerned. And I've seen some poopers in my day. So, hey, he's now a backup, a young cost control backup. So, it's good for no one.
All right. We have the Atlanta Falcons. Got a few big names here. Kirk Cousins, we talked about that in depth last week. Probably don't need to go much into it. But any winners or losers with Kirk Cousins? I don't think it's either up or down. I think he stays the same no matter where he is, supporting cast. So I don't have an up or down move on him. But winners or losers here, my answer would be Kyle Pitts. I think Drake London stinks, so I don't think it benefits him at all. But I would say Pitts is the winner here and takes a lot of pressure off Bijan. So I think it helps both of them.
Yeah. Kirko chains, his value won't really change. Cause listen, he came from an offense that had Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, to an offense that now has Kyle Pitts. I know you hate Drake London. I don't. Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and then even throw in my boy Darnell Mooney, who
He's next.
Yeah, I know. So let's just put dovetail this. Who Kirk throws a good deep ball, and Darnell Mooney has had to like chase down errant passes his entire career in Chicago. I think there's a world where Darnell Mooney can be a thing, especially indoors in Atlanta and that division. It's in the South, like just ideal environments rather than Windy City. So I think it helps Darnell Mooney, which is why I had to say it. It definitely helps Kyle Pitts. Arthur Smith not being there helps everyone. So that's what's going to solve a lot of these problems. Like Bijan will be better because Algier is not going to see near the work he saw before. And I do think Drake London benefits from this. I literally think it helps the entire offense.
All right, to the next man up. You mentioned already Darnell Mooney. I think it's a big upgrade from the Bears. He, as far as I believe, he is their clear wide receiver two right now. Cousins has been able to support two wide receivers throughout his career for fantasy purposes. I think it's great for Mooney. We've been Mooney guys. I've had him stashed. The price dropped so low, I couldn't even trade him. So I've just been holding him, hoping for a moment just like this. So I'm not even going to trade him now where his value's gone up a little bit. I think he can get higher, especially as a few big games to start the year. But I think he is a giant winner in this. I think his stock is pointing up.
Agreed, 100%. And the irony of Mooney, you and I both have been on him since, was it 2020, when unfortunately the Bears drafted him out of Tulane. But let's just, for context sake, we mentioned Marquise Brown early on, and I was, earlier in the podcast, and I was talking about his career season was like something like 90 some receptions of that low 1,000 yards, and I think it was 5 or 6 touchdowns. Darnell Mooney's second year, where he saw 140 targets, he caught 81 balls for 1,055 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's literally like Hollywood Brown. He's had like some down seasons the last two where he's missed some games due to injuries, not seeing the volume, but that pass offense regressed the last couple of years. I think there's a ton of value in Darnell Mooney. I think he landed in a great spot with Kirk Cousins. And like you said, he's not fighting for a lot for wide receiver targets in that offense. Now he's still probably a distant third, probably maybe even fourth to Bijan in the pecking order of target distribution or even just touches. But I like it. I mean, he's not going to see the 140 targets, but in his rookie year, he saw 98 targets. I think he can see 100 targets.
He could see 100 for sure.
Yeah, if he's more efficient, he could be like an 800-yard, 5 or 6 touchdown guy easily, and there's value there.
What do you think you'd have to – let's say you got Hollywood Brown, bigger name on the Chiefs now, people all excited. We're comparing him to Mooney, and I think that's actually a pretty good comp, especially when you look at the numbers like you did. You got Hollywood. People are – there's a little buzz around him. No one's really talking about Mooney. Well, you throw somebody Hollywood Brown to get Mooney in return. What do you think you'd get back with him? Think you could get Mooney in a second?
Probably not with the 1 year.
Mooney and a third?
I think you can get a third. Yeah, you definitely get something on top of Mooney, okay. Yeah, especially with Hollywood Landon in Kansas City. But I think a second, maybe a late second, who knows if someone's really that over the moon on Hollywood Brown in his landing spot. But I think a third. I think Mooney in a third is reasonable. And I would take that in a second just on the, you know, the fact that Mooney is a multi-year deal, stability, yeah, as far, you know, as, you know, his contract is concerned, and that hopefully Kirk Cousins can be viable for the next 3 to 4 years with that Achilles, which kind of seems like the Achilles isn't that big of a deal anymore, especially for quarterbacks, because they're not playing and running as much as other positions do. So, but I mean, Darnell Mooney, in reality, it's a 2 year deal for him as well, and 27 mil. So it's, you know, it's not light years difference. He has one more year of consistency in his contract than Hollywood Brown does. But I do like Darnell Mooney, and he got tied for the second largest contract in free agency. So he had a market.
All right. This is supposed to be lightning round, but we do love Darnell Mooney. So this, it had to happen.
I love Darnell Mooney.
All right. The flip side of that Desmond Ridder trade was Rondale Moore going from Arizona to Atlanta. I like him as a weapon in the offense. We mentioned Mooney being there. Moore's probably their three now, but only so many footballs to go around. And unless London gets hurt, I don't see Moore getting enough snaps and targets to make him a week in, week out starter. I do like it. Like I said, just his offense as a whole is better. And depending on how they plan on using him, he could have some fantasy value, but definitely up from what was going on in Arizona. But I guess it's a win for him. I'd rather be tied to this offense than the Cardinals.
Yeah, definitely. And keep it brief. Yeah. I mean, he's better for the Falcons than he is for fantasy, but he did see 28 carries last year for 178 yards and a touchdown. He averaged 6.4 yards per attempt. He could be using that kind of gadgety role for the Falcons, but yeah, he's not going to see any volume as a pass catcher.
All right, moving on. Baltimore Ravens, Derrick Henry. We beat that to death last week. Obviously, wheels up. Guy's awesome. Probably going to score. I was listening to Ray and Scott talking on their podcast. And
Destination Devi or whatever
it is. They said 15 touchdown floor, and I believe that is probably going to be too low when we look back at this. But wheels up for Henry.
John, he scored 12 touchdowns last year for the shitty Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, he's a monster. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Moving on to the Buffalo Bills. We talked about Trubisky backup. Only value if you own Josh Allen and need to handcuff him. Other than that, they did sign Mac Hollins. They need some help at depth. Could make a few splash plays here and there. I don't mind it in best ball. Obviously, wheels up, arrow pointing up for him being on Buffalo is better than most offenses in the league being tied to Josh Allen, but not fantasy significant unless you're in best ball.
Yep.
All right, Carolina Panthers. How do you help out your franchise quarterback? You do nothing except bring in Deontay Johnson via trade. I got to say down, there's nothing on this offense that I saw a year ago that I know they got new staff in place there. I'm cautiously optimistic as I have lots of him, but I got to think this is a downgrade for him. Any winner or loser, probably Bryce Young is the winner here. At least he's got a actual wide receiver one target now, but I need to see more from this entire offense before I can consider any of this a win for anyone.
Yeah, don't disagree. I mean, this is just the irony of your boy Deontay Johnson. He has one career 100 reception season and one career 1,000 yard season in his five NFL seasons. So there's a lot of guys we talk about, like, there's something they're not. He got a lot of volume for 3 years, 144 targets, 169 targets, 147 targets. So in a PPR world, he got value, but the guy's been a replacement level receiver pretty much his entire career, and then, you know, talked his way out of Pittsburgh, landed in unfortunate, you know, Carolina, where he's going to be catching shitty dump offs for 2 or 3 years of his career. So yeah, I think his stock is down, and I think his stock was artificially higher than it should have been for a little while now.
All right, moving on to the Chicago Bears. We'll skip over Keenan Allen. Already beat that to death. Moving on, they did bring in Brett Rypien, which that's going to be your veteran guy to bring Caleb Williams. Don't like it at all. They need to get a actual good veteran in there, I think, to kind of help bring him along, but no fantasy impact there. We talked about Swift the other day, but the only one we have not really talked about a bunch here is Gerald Everett. The Bears have been linked to tight ends a bunch this offseason, whether in the draft or free agency, which I thought was weird just because Cole Kmet, I mean, obviously you need depth at every position, but Kmet seemed good enough to me that it shouldn't have been a high priority. But they brought in Everett, who's been more than capable for NFL and fantasy perspective. Wheel up? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many two tight end sets they're going to run. If something were to happen to Kmet, he's probably fringe tight end one, tight end two. It's probably a loss for him and for Cole Kmet because he's good enough to probably get some work on the field. So don't like it for fantasy. And then after Everett, anything you want to say about Swift again?
No, said more than enough about Swift. Gerald Everett is listed 6'3", 250. He looks smaller than that. I'm thinking Gerald Everett, big slot wide receiver in the Chicago Bears offense.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm convinced Caleb Williams just there's too much excitement. Everything can't keep going up. I just think Williams is going to stink in all this excitement about all these guys. Falls off a cliff.
But. Yeah, listen, you're anti, Caleb Williams right now. So understandably so. I mean,
and Bears.
Oh, did you see RG3 while we're talking about Caleb Williams? Said that
I did.
He should refuse to go to Chicago. Tell him no. And then RG3 says he should go to Washington. Who has no team? I'm like, do you forget how poorly they treated you when you were there?
Look, the Bears.
What's going on here?
Yeah. When you look at the top three picking and knowing what's going on with like the transition in New England now, I think, and it sounds ridiculous, but the Bears, I would say, are the best landing spot of the three.
100%.
They have more, they got Keenan Allen in there. We just mentioned Gerald Everett. They got Swift. They've put pieces around for any of these guys to succeed. You can't say that about the other fucking three teams. And like even teams rumored to be trading up like Minnesota. Sure, you get to throw to one of the best wide receivers in the league and, one of the best young receivers opposite him. And you got one of the best tight ends. I get it. But like the rest of their team doesn't inspire me. Not that, I think.
Oh, I'd love him in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell. Oh, I think that would be magical. But you're right. Washington is just where he's from. That's why it makes sense. And then you New England. No one wants to go to New England.
No. All right. So Cincinnati Bengals, they re-signed T. Higgins. Nothing to talk about there. We know what he is in this offense. Brought in Zach Moss, which we already talked about quite a bit 2 weeks ago. Mike Gesicki came in there. They re-signed Tanner Hudson. Drew Sample got re-signed. Everybody's kind of in the same role. Gesicki, I would be excited about if he ever showed us fucking anything. But since we've seen nothing, I cannot be excited at all. I mean, that's a lateral move at best. I'm cautiously optimistic. I would like him in best ball only. And Zach Moss, we talked about. I mean, currently, as the roster is constructed, that is a big upgrade for him. I would say he is a winner. And Mike Gesicki could be a winner, but odds are we're the losers.
Yeah, listen, John, Mike Gesicki got paid less than Austin Hooper did to go to New England, when Pharaoh Brown did to go to Seattle, even less than Harrison Bryant did to go to Las Vegas, all on one-year deals. They all get paid more money
than
Mike Gesicki. And then Irv Smith, who he replaced, got paid nothing to go to Kansas City. So it just shows you what can happen as you're a part of a three-headed committee in a Cincinnati tight end room.
So moving on to the Cleveland Browns, Jameis Winston goes there, back up 1 year, $4 million. I think that's a good signing for him. They're not going to bench Watson, but if Watson gets hurt again or anything like that, he's a more than capable gunslinger. I would like to see him get a chance on the field again somewhere because I think he is very good for fantasy. I don't care about his trillions of interceptions and other nonsense, and you get sound bites from that guy that are outstanding. So I do like the signing, even though currently there's no fantasy impact. They brought in Jerry Jeudy. We talked about that. I mean, they're trying to make this offense better as a whole. Judy obviously has to be trending up. It's a win for him based on what was going on in Denver and the mystery there with their quarterback situation, which is it Jared Stidham still? Is that who they are?
Who?
Denver? Is that their starter?
Yeah. I think it's their only quarterback.
So, I mean, obviously wheels up to come to Cleveland, but not a lot going on and not much for fantasy impact except for Judy going here, and we need Watson to hit for this to happen.
Yeah, and they signed Tyler Huntley as well. Yeah, Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley, which is odd after signing Jameis Winston. So they also have Dorian Thompson-Robinson on their team. So Cleveland's making some interesting,
on the way out.
Interesting quarterback additions.
All right, Dallas Cowboys did nothing for fantasy. Moving on, Denver Broncos also did nothing for fantasy. Moving on, Detroit Lions. Let's see, who did they bring in here? Offensively, nothing. Moving on. This is a nice stretch here. Green Bay Packers. Oh, I missed this one. Green Bay Packers re-signed A.J. Dillon. When did that happen?
They gave him this weird, I still haven't looked into it. They gave him this, like, I heard it's a seldom used qualifying offer, 4-year thing like that. So I guess it means he had zero market. But yeah, they brought him back on a 4-year deal. I guess it's probably not paying him anything.
So I don't hate it. It's a,
well, you know what? I take that back. Spotrac listed it's a 1-year deal and they gave him $2.74 million and it's all guaranteed. So I guess it's not what I read, but you know, 1-year deal.
Yeah. So for him, yeah, I don't think that is up or down. He's going to have the same or a slightly lesser role than we've seen from him the last couple of years of his career. They know the player. They're going to plug him in. I think they're going to use Josh Jacobs exactly like they used Aaron Jones, except probably a little more because they have this money invested in him. So those are the two signings. Jacobs, I think, is a lateral move for him. I don't think he's as talented as Aaron Jones, but I think you get similar production we've seen from Jacob because he is kind of similar skill set, even though I don't think he's as talented.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And not that this clarity is going to change anything because he didn't clear up anything for me. It's that money to AJ Dillon is an estimate, it says, based on the 4-year qualifying offer terms. So I don't even know what that means. Is it like... He gets 4 1-year deals. You know, and if someone makes a qualifying offer, they get something. I don't even think he gets paid that much this year because he stinks. He's a big leg plotter. But Josh Jacobs, yeah, I think he can handle more carries than Aaron Jones ever did. But he's not going to be as dynamic in the passing game as Aaron Jones was. So it's probably a net zero.
Houston Texans, Dalton Schultz re-signed there. Similar production. I think he's got a good rapport with C.J. Stroud. I think you see more of the same that we saw a year ago for the next 3 years. I do like it for fantasy. He's on way too many of my rosters, so I was happy to see him re-sign here. I would say he is a winner compared to where else he could have gone. Joe Mixon, this was one of the dream landing spots for the running backs, although I don't love it for Mixon and his skill set here, but they need a lead back. Mixon is that, even if he is just a volumizer. So arrow pointing up for Mixon, and I think it is a win for him too.
Yeah, and Mixon signed a 2-year, just under $20 million contract after being traded to the Houston Texans. Doesn't list anything beyond this year because I think it's his old deal, but he's got a little bit more, you know, stability. You know, $13 million guaranteed leads me to believe he'll be there for both years. You know, of that contract in Houston, which is really good. Like, we were talking about me moving him before, and now I think that late second, you know, hindsight, right, bias, I wish I didn't move him for that because I think I could get more for him now or in season. But I did not see an extension coming anywhere for him.
Would you trade Joe Mixon for Trey Benson?
I would. To get Joe Mixon, yes. I'd like the 2 years.
Wouldn't take – in theory, an early second, because that's around where Benson's going.
Yeah, I'm holding now. I like that offense. There's much of Damian Pierce, who's his only competition. We could be looking at another RB1 season from Mixon, and at that point, I'm holding. And then I still think, because he's got that 1 year left, I can trade him next year.
Yeah. All right. Indianapolis Colts, Michael Pittman re-signed. Again, same team. Nothing to change there. Lateral move. Joe Flacco is the only new addition here. Backup. You know, the way Anthony Richardson plays does get banged up. I think this is a good move for Flacco. Super flex. He was viable at the end of last year, and he could be viable again this year if something were to happen to Richardson. So, like the move for Joe Flacco. Think it's good for fantasy. He's a winner to me.
Yeah, nothing more to say. It's good for Flacco. It's good for the offense. Joe Flacco is also going to turn 40 years old this year. So, good for him.
Fuck.
I didn't Welcome to 40.
Older. I'm older than Joe Flacco. He seems old as shit. All right. Jacksonville Jaguars. Gabe Davis, 3 years, $39 million. We talked about that quite a bit here. Winner for him appears to be their wide receiver one. Kirk's going to be in the slot. So people wanted to see a lot out of old Gabe Davis. Here's your chance. Fingers crossed it works out for him. I assume they're going to add more wide receivers. But so it's a win for him. I might be a little downgrade for Lawrence and this offense as a whole. I don't think he's as good as Ridley was a year ago, but I'm open to be proven wrong. Mac Jones was brought in via trade, backup quarterback, doesn't move the needle. Obviously his value is down. There's no way he will ever get it on the field ahead of Lawrence.
Yeah. I like Gabe Davis in this offense. I'm a sucker. I just feel like he was drastically misused in Buffalo. Personally, because it was like force feed Stephon Diggs the ball. There were reports that Jacksonville was attempting to re-sign Ridley on top of the Mooney trade. On top, sorry, Mooney. I'm looking at the Spo track. On top of the Gabe Davis signing. So they wanted a Christian Kirk, Ridley, Davis wide receiver room, which means that they
would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been fantastic. Davis would have played that stretch role. They would have been able to interchange Ridley and Kirk in the slot or on the opposite side. Would have been a really nice offense. That tax-free Tennessee came calling because of that whole trade clause that they couldn't extend Ridley. That he had to be a free agent for
tax-free Florida too. He's never.
It wasn't a benefit for him to wait and see what Jacksonville offered. And Jacksonville didn't have near the money that Tennessee did either, which is probably another reason why he got the deal he did in Tennessee, is they were trying to stick it to their division rivals. But I'm excited to see what Gabe Davis can do in Jacksonville.
I'm glad he's getting the role. I'm very curious to see what he'll do, but yeah, bringing somebody. All right. So moving on, Kansas City Chiefs. We already beat Marquise Brown to death at the start of the show. Only other guy here is Irv Smith. We've been chasing the tight end two here for years, hoping that, you know, they get a little rolling and take over for Kelsey. Totally different player than Kelsey. So could he ever be something for fantasy? Yeah. Is it likely? No. But coming to Kansas City and playing with Pat Mahomes, the arrow has to be going up for him. And for him personally, it's a winner. For fantasy, I don't think it's a win or a loss. It does nothing.
Yeah, I'm done with Irv Smith. he's undersized. 6'2", 240. That was his problem coming out of Alabama. And, you know, because he can't be a full-time tight end, you know, so there's still just not a role for this guy. He hasn't played, I guess, back in 2019. Was that still a 16-game season? He's played 13, 8, and 12 games the last 3 years. And I think he has more tattoos than career receptions at this point in time. And that's not a good good splits. So I'm done with him. I don't care if Travis Kelce retired tomorrow. I still want to go get Irv Smith.
All right, moving on to the Las Vegas Raiders. Gardner Minshew, 2 year, $25 million deal. Currently, their starting quarterback. I got to think he's their starter this whole year and maybe even next year. When you look at next year's quarterback class, they might, you know, in round two, kick the wheels on Penix or one of those guys. That would be interesting to see. But right now, he's a big winner, especially in, you know, super flex world. I think he's a giant winner, arrow pointing up. He will probably be their week one starter.
I totally agree. And it's a good, interesting way they structured a contract that it's pretty much a 1 year deal if they wanted to, but you know, they could have him around, you know, and paying him 12.5 mil. It's split between both years with the signing bonus. So they can move on from him easily in a year or something better comes along. But I do think he's a starter too. I don't think it's Aiden O'Connell.
Los Angeles Chargers brought in Gus Edwards and Russ Will Kent. Disley. We talked about both of them quite a bit last week. We do like it for both of them, like the upside here. Nothing I need to add, but yeah, I think they're both winners as of now. We can revisit this after the draft, as I think they both will be getting some fresh, new, young competition. But as of today, I have them both as winners.
Yeah, 100%. Gus Edwards, OC, is Greg Roman, too, who knows Gus Edwards well from their time in Baltimore. So,
Los Angeles Rams, DeMarcus Robinson re-signed, not fantasy relevant. Colby Parkinson coming in there. We mentioned that 2 weeks ago. I think that's a huge win. I think he's totally under the radar. I think people are sleeping on that because Higbee suffered that late injury and probably could miss at least half the year. I think Parkinson is a tight end two at worst. I think he could flirt with that low end tight end one as long as Higbee is not in the building. I think he's got the talent to do it, and it's an offense where they have used tight end quite a bit. So I think that's a huge win for him and a giant arrow pointing upward for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, a bad class, but this statement is fact. Colby Parkinson got the best free agent deal from any tight end. So
good for him. All right, Miami Dolphins. Jonnu Smith came in. Already talked about that. Not going back to that. Well, Salvin Ahmed re-signed, but that's it. Nothing really on the offensive side of the ball. We already talked about Jonnu a week ago. So, meh, nothing happening there. Minnesota Vikings. Trent Sheffield came into town. That does nothing. The big one here was Sam Darnold and Aaron Jones coming in. Two guys we already talked about think it's good for Aaron Jones, unless Sam Darnold's still the quarterback. The thing I have heard was that Vikings trade where they got that extra first round pick was for them to package 11 and 23 to go up to four with Arizona. And it's like, are you going to four in a three man quarterback class? Like,
well, listen, I know you're not big on McCarthy, but the report is they are.
No, I like McCarthy, but I just think it's well, that's crazy.
That's the fourth quarterback.
Yeah, and it's a crazy trade to make before you know who's even going to be on the board.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're like any of those four, but we know Caleb Williams is going one, and then the assumption, you're right, don't know, is that Daniels and May are going two and three.
So here's the other rumor I've heard. I've heard that New England is not sold on Daniels or May, and they may just bridge a year with Brissett, who they've known. So let's say May or Daniels falls out, and now Minnesota could possibly get that fourth pick, and they love J.J. McCarthy. Do they still take McCarthy, or do you think they like the one of May or Daniels more, but they say, we have no chance at those guys, and then one of them becomes available. Do you think they still go McCarthy, or do they take the guy that falls?
It'd be a good problem to have. Right.
True story.
I don't see a world where the Patriots don't draft a quarterback. And the way I think it, maybe I'm not ever meant to be a GM. You don't ever want to be picking there again. Right. And yes, you can always trade in, but it costs a lot to get up there to trade in to try and get one of these guys. You're there. Take the quarterback. Right. I think there's four quarterbacks in this draft. Right. I'm not paid millions and millions of dollars to figure out how to rank them. But if the Patriots don't draft a quarterback here, they're not doing a bridge for a year. They're setting their franchise back, and they're going to be picking in this similar spot next year in a less heralded quarterback class. It's my two cents. I can't imagine them not taking a quarterback at three.
He's a no good. All right. Patriots re-sign Hunter Henry. You talked about that already. Jacoby Brissett talked about that last week. They did bring in Antonio Gibson, which we both like that move, arrow up for him, but nothing new here. We kind of talked about all these guys before. Henry's a lateral move. Do like the signing there. Anything you want to add on these guys?
Nope. Said enough about New England already.
Yes. New Orleans Saints. Nothing. Like nothing across the board.
Can't afford to.
It's fucking nothing.
All they do in the offseason is restructure.
Shuffle money around so we could have this conversation again a year from now.
Exactly.
New York Giants. I knew he went somewhere. I didn't know it was here. Drew Lock came to the Giants, mm-hmm. which I did not know. You know, we talked about Howell to start the show. I don't hate this move either. I mean, Locke can get on the field. Daniel Jones has not been so incredible that you think Drew Locke couldn't get on the field for a game or two. So I don't hate that one. Arrow pointing up for him. Seattle wasn't a fit. I think Locke stinks what I've seen on the field. But if you're looking for a dart and super flex, I the cost to acquire Drew Lock has got to be fucking nothing. So I like it. Wheel up for fantasy if you're just looking for some depth.
Agreed.
All right. New York Jets. Tyrod Taylor coming in as the backup in case, God forbid, Aaron Jones only sees four snaps again, which Taylor's been a competent quarterback. I don't know if there's a better word you could use other than that, but I like it for depth for NFL, for fantasy, doesn't move the needle. Again, you want to just stash him as a depth play in Superflex. I get it, but no fantasy impact.
Agreed. Yeah, nothing to hear. I mean, if he starts, it's not as bad for the Jets pass catchers and offense as it was last year.
Your Philadelphia Eagles. We talked a ton about Saquon Barkley 2 weeks ago. Looking through the rest of their moves here, nothing significant. We talked about Pickett to start the show. I do want to dip my toe in IDP just for a second here as they brought back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who is among my favorite players in the entire league. He's just an asshole and suckers these offensive idiots into hitting him in the face every game and seems like he gets one 15-yard penalty every game, draws one from the other team. So I just like how he gets under people's skin. Oh, and again, for fantasy purposes, he is a safety. Please, if there is a God in the heaven above, please have the Eagles list him as a cornerback again and get all those safety touches. He was amazing as a safety, but designated as a corner a couple years ago. So I love this move, although the defense is going to be different with Fangio there. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed he has another productive year because he was great the 1 year he was in Philly.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to do a quick search because I've heard reports that he might play the slot for the Eagles, and he is currently listed as the nickelback. So that's the slot, my friend.
Good, good, good. All right, Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, that's not corner. You said he wanted to be safety, right?
No, I wanted to be corner.
Oh, you wanted to be a corner. Gotcha, gotcha.
Because he plays like a hybrid safety, and you get all the fucking.
Yeah, so yeah, he's going to be the nickelback.
Come on, MFL, get these positional designations squared away. Pittsburgh Steelers, Russell Wilson, and Justin Fields. Already talked a ton about both of them. Moving on to San Francisco 49ers. Nothing on the offensive side of the football. Seattle Seahawks, they didn't trade for Sam Howell, which we discussed. Nothing else to add there. Noah Fant was re-signed. Yawn. Tampa Bay, Mayfield re-signed, Mike Evans re-signed, talked a bunch about that. They re-signed Chase Edmonds, did nothing a year ago, will do nothing again this year. Tennessee Titans, Tony Pollard, talked about that 2 weeks ago, very excited. Re-signed Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who I have started that fucking guy more weeks than I could ever imagine over the last 2 years. So I know they brought in Calvin Ridley, so it bumps him down in the pecking order. A new regime there, so they don't have any tie to him, but That guy's been sneaky playable in fantasy over the last couple of years. But, you know, with Ridley coming there, different depth chart, the new staff not connected to him, I think that window has shut.
I don't disagree. He's been viable, but, yeah, he's just depth.
Washington Commanders to close this out. Offense side of the football brought in Eckler, which we talked about quite a bit. I did not see Marcus Mariota, who – good for him. I mean, him and Winston with their kind of going 1-2 and then this career is backups. I like both of those guys. I'm happy they're able to just continue to linger and make all these millions and millions of dollars. So good for them. Their big signing to me for fantasy is Zach Ertz, which I love. Ooh, going down the IDP thing again. I didn't know they signed Jeremy Chinn.
That's yeah, I wish the Eagles did. That really upset me.
That's great.
That guy, he got hurt in Carolina last year and lost his starting job because he got hurt.
Yeah,
he came back as being a backup, like jerks.
Yeah, and he is
so many ideas. Good. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. But yeah, I like the Mariota thing. There is a world where whoever they draft is not ready to start, and Mariota could get a few starts at the beginning of the year, but I like him as a mentor. I will, you know, so, but doesn't do shit for fantasy.
No, you hope he doesn't make that many starts, if any. Washington's picking three. They are 100% taking a quarterback. They're not trying to do any New England. Oh, sorry, at two. They're not doing any New England smoke screens at three. They're taking either Jaden Daniels or Drake May. Whoever, you know, they decide will be better than what they were dealing with. And we didn't really talk about a lot of residual impact other than the guys that moved. Jahan Dotson, I'm a huge fan of. And, you know, now that Curtis Samuel isn't there anymore and there's a new offensive, you know, identity coming in with a new quarterback, and I know Terry McLaurin's still their alpha, but I'm probably checking in on Jahan Dotson's availability in some leagues because he had a down year last year, but I still believe in the talent. I think he's a 1,000-yard, 6-touchdown type guy as well, like a lot of these other guys we're talking about, you know, that, you know, the Marquise Hollywood Browns, the Darnell Moonies. I think Jahan Dotson can live in that world for a few years as well. And I don't know that he's being talked about in the same vein as those other guys. And he's going into his third year, I believe, as a first-round pick. So whether they pick up his fifth-year option or not, he's still got another year in Washington. He's a guy I think will be positively impacted by the change.
Fun trivia question for you here before we get out of here. Winston and Mariota, who has made more money in their career? And it is close.
I was going to say, I'm just trying to think about like the second move, because I think Mariota, when he went to Atlanta, it was a decent. I'm going to go with Mariota.
Marcus Mariota has made $69 million. Perfect. Jameis Winston, 72. So just, yeah, just squeaked by.
So, I mean, where was that? Okay. So, yeah, I mean, was it this fifth year option?
No, their fifth year, they both made $20 million.
Okay. I was going to say, because I pulled up Jameis first because I was going to say, where did the difference hit? But they both got the fifth year option. It was that Jameis found a $15 million season in the next four. And Marcus did not. So that's literally the difference. Is that?
Yeah. They're 4 years after that rookie year. Winston went 1.1 million, 5.5, then that big 15, then 4.1, where Mariota kind of was a little more level without that explosion. That first year with Oakland, he made 9, then 3.5, 6.7, and 5. So
how he kind of made. Did Jameis Winston, was he the starter in 22? Wasn't that Andy Dalton?
And then they don't have this next year's contract for Mariota, but Mariota is going to make $2 million more. So if my math is correct, they should be pretty damn close to even their whole career, which is kind of funny to go 1-2 and still make the same money.
John, Jameis Winston started 3 games in 2022. He started more in 21. I think he got probably paid because he's a tail. I think probably maybe he started the end of the 21 season. That $15 million year, which was he got a $14 million signing bonus for that 22 season. He ended up starting 3 games, going 1-2 for them.
After this year, they'll be $1.5 million apart, roughly.
Okay. You had a trivia. I have two trivia. You mentioned Jarrett Stidham, who is listed as the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Who is their backup quarterback
today? Oh, good question.
He started football games 2 years ago in the NFL.
Okay. That threw me off. I'm never going to guess.
What are you going to like? It wasn't something like you'll never know this guy. I mean, I wouldn't have got this. My apologies. He started game. No, yeah, sorry. It was 2 years ago. I'm thinking of another guy. He started games 2 years ago.
Yeah, I got nothing. That threw me
Ben off. DiNucci.
Oh, shit.
Yep, that's what we're dealing with. Good old Ben DiNucci.
They have to draft. I mean, I don't know what else they're going to do, right? They have to draft somebody.
Yeah. I mean, they probably will. It's probably one of these lesser tiered guys. You know, they're not drafting a day one guy. You know, if they get like a Spencer Rattler on day two, that'd be interesting. I like Spencer Rattler. And then the other
Doesn't Bo Nix seem like a Peyton guy?
I feel like there's a lot of steam that Bo Nix is going in the first round, which I think is insane.
Listen, I told you that guy gave, according to NFL radio, some of the best interviews in history.
Listen, when he was like an offensive coordinator in 5 years. Like Kellen Moore, you know, he gave tremendous interviews, you know, around the league. You know, I don't believe as the player. And then another one, like you said, we're always, you know, on the names and the you know, the nicknames and all in Pro Football Reference. So I brought up our buddy Gus Edwards, just to look at kind of some of his stats early on with Greg Roman. Do you know what Gus Edwards' real first name is? Full first name?
I think we've done this before. I think, off the top of my head, no, but I know we've done this before with him.
No, Augustus. Augustus Edwards. That is a fucking regal name, if ever I heard it. Born in Liberia. Moved to New York.
Oh, now it's less weird. I work with some African dudes with crazy names.
Yeah, Augustus Edwards. That's phenomenal. I mean, big fan of Augustus Edwards.
Aren't we all? But, so that somewhere. Should do it for us. I'm assuming next week we're going to come back with a little more rookie action now that all this free agency stuff is behind us. Nobody significant is still floating out there. There's a couple names, but nothing that's going to move the fantasy needle at this point. You know, maybe Mike Williams to the Chargers will get us a little worked up for one episode, but that should do it for us. So see you next week with some rookie action again. For myself, John DeBarry, my co-host, Matt Walker, we are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
So, did you call it spot track or spo track? I hear a lot of people call it spo track, which makes sense. I guess like sports tracking, but I've always called it spot rack, spot track. Like,
you put me on the, you know, it's funny. It's one of those words where someone asks you and then you completely forget the way you say it. Yeah. Like, what?
What a time for a question.
You want to know how dumb I am? For the longest time, I thought it said sport track. I thought there were two R's in it.
John, it probably makes sense. Right? I mean, sport track, like that actually sounds pretty spot on for what this is.
In the R.
Why not just call it contract? Because all they do is contracts. Just take the T off the end. You want to be cool? Instead of contract, just make a contract.
Wait a minute. Is that what this is? Track, like contract?
That's my assumption. Sports contracts. They just went, gave it the old mashup.
R. I can't do it without the R.
Well, because the OR changes the O. That's the reason.
I'm going spo track.
Spo track. Okay. I hear that so much. I call it spot rack. I don't even change it. I call it spot track.
I mean, it says spot.
It is spot. That's the word I say, and then it's rack. So I try and transition that to spot track. But so many people say spo track, which it probably is, right? Because it probably is sports contracts. But I don't know that I've ever heard the guy that created it or runs it say what it is. It's like the guy that came out with GIF. It's pronounced GIF. Did you know that? Like the peanut butter. That's how it's supposed to be. They're GIFs. I call them GIFs. GIF to me is GIF.
What is it? Graphic?
Who cares? Image. Whatever. It's irrelevant what it means. It's an acronym. But, you know, it's like gift without the T. It's GIF. Right? But no, he said it's a GIF. I'm like, well, then it should be a J. Right?
English is a fun language.
Yeah. But, yeah. Such is the world. All right. So that's your daily grammar lesson from the Fantasy 40. You know, I think we really got to the bottom of it, but you said a bunch of stuff.